to Isaiah 55, to the book of Isaiah and to chapter 55. Here you see the snatching the sinner in pity from sin and the grave. Here is the typical open air preaching. Surely it's open air when it begins with oh yes, as we would say in English. But ho, oh, pay attention, listen, you're all doing different things, lots of different things, but listen to me, I've got a message. That's the picture. Ho, oh, everyone that thirsteth. You see, now here are the reasons why the Lord will speak to people's hearts. They're playing backgammon over there. They're playing football over there. And they're doing lots of other things. And the cry is, listen, any of you perishing? Any of you care that you're perishing? Any of you mind about it? Perhaps an ear will prick up there. Perhaps an ear will prick up there. Perhaps an ear will prick up there by the Lord's grace. So the message cries out aloud over all the activities of mankind, inviting whoever thirsts. Now, people don't always quite know why they are thirsting. We do sort of sometimes know what we want to drink. We'll go for water, or we'll go for milk, or we'll go for cola, or we'll go for something else. But in a spiritual sense, people don't know that they're thirsting or what will quench their thirst. But there is down in the human heart, for we are made in the image of God, but crushed by the tempter. There is in the human heart, when the Lord moves upon that heart, that will enable them to turn. And before that, to be aware that they're unhappy. Be aware that they have a need. Be aware that they do not know what there is after this life. Do not know where they are going or why they are here. That constitutes thirst. And it plays the same part in the spiritual life as water plays in the physical. It's necessary. It keeps you from thirsting to death. Everyone that thirsteth, this cry goes out, come to the waters. Well, what better place to go when you're thirsty is to the waters. Well, many, many diseases are waterborne. Perhaps in Africa, for example, it would not be good to go to the waters. But these are the waters from heaven. These are the waters of the Spirit. These are the waters of truth and gladness. These will quench the thirst of the soul. And the trumpeter, the herald, the messenger, is going to give reasons why they should come. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. Perhaps there were those there thinking, well, it's all very well for them. They're rich, they're wealthy. I haven't got that sort of money. I can't pay for milk. I can't pay for wine. I can't pay for drink. I'm on subsistence or less than subsistence levels. He that hath no money, I'm calling out to you. Millions across the world who live under the starvation level. But you're welcome to the gospel. You're welcome to believe. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money. You're welcome if you can't pay. There is nothing to pay. Come, by wine and milk, without money and without price. Here's a double, and French would say double entendre, a double meaning. Come, buy wine and milk. You don't need money, and there is no price on it. But it is priceless, is the other meaning. Priceless. Oh, come, buy it. But by buy it, you mean free. Come and get it. Come and get your share of it. You needn't have money. It doesn't cost anything. As we would say, it's all of grace. And the message of the gospel going forth here, out in the open air, brings another reason. Here they are, playing backgammon, playing football, doing whatever they're doing. And he's crying out to them, why do you waste your money? Why do you spend money on that which you know will not yield you any good at all? Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? It's the truth about people, isn't it? That they'll spend their monies on pleasure and go without food sometimes. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? You waste all your energies, all your lifetime energies on things that will do you no ultimate good, will not do anything for your soul. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Your labor, all the effort you put in, all the worry you go through, all the preparation you do, all the hard work out in the fields, why do you labor? And then it's all gone, it's all dissipated, it's all wasted. Why do you labor for that which doesn't satisfy? Is that you? Is that you? Is that you? Hearken diligently unto me. So he's gathering his congregation together. He's gathering the crowds that weren't listening at all and beginning to get their attention. Perhaps they're beginning to move forward towards him. Hearken diligently unto me. The call of the gospel is to hearken diligently. In this area here, people don't hearken diligently. We can't even get them to hearken. But the Lord knows how to do these things. Hearken diligently unto me. We'll talk about eating what is good and your soul delighting in fatness. Your soul needs feeding. Your soul needs delighting in fatness. You're thirsty. Your soul isn't being fed. We're made as human souls. Man became a living soul. Not like the animals who just die. The soul goes back to be with the Lord instantly on our death. We're different sort of creatures. Feed your soul. Eat that which is good. Spend and buy and purchase through the gospel the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear. Pay attention. Come unto me. Now this is the herald speaking, but he's speaking on behalf of the Saviour. Incline your ear and come unto me. We read in Revelation how the Lord says, come, come. I'm at the door and I'm knocking. Enter, open that door. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. If you listen to what I say, if you listen to the gospel, if you listen to its message, if having listened you take it on board and you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul shall live. And we are those gathered here today who by believing have caused our souls to live. They were dead, but they are alive. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. This is Christ. He is an everlasting covenant. All that he has accomplished as the Son of God in dealing with sinners, in dying on Calvary, in shedding his blood, all these things are part of the everlasting agreement, covenant, that God has made. And they're made with you, if you believe. Come, come. They're the sure mercies of David. It's what David put his comfort in. The Saviour and the shedding of his blood. His Lord. Behold, I have given Christ for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Matthew Henry says that he is a commander by precept and a leader by example. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. The choice of God was in a Jewish Middle Eastern man. But that man, by that man, who the living God, comes the gospel. And from all over the world and in all periods of history, they shall come to him. Why don't you come? I love that hymn, 396 in our book. Hark, how the gospel trumpet sounds. And if free grace, why not for me? If it's free, why should I say rubbish? If it's free, why should I turn away? If it's free, why should I continue thirsting? Free grace. And then he pleads with the congregation, seek ye the Lord. But here's something that's relevant, particularly to those who've been brought up in churches. But this is in outdoor preaching. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. While. While. You may not have another opportunity. Your mind may fail. It may be that circumstances will change and you never hear that invitation again and you forget all about it. While you have the opportunity, seek the Lord. While he is near, call upon him. While the gospel message goes forth, while these things are happening, he is near. Call upon him. While he's near, while he's listening to you, while you know he's there. Again, he may go, he may leave you, he may desert you. The days that follow, because you've left the opportunity, may vanish for good. And you ones here who are wicked, those of you who know that you've murdered, you've raped, you've stolen, you've robbed, let the wicked forsake his way. But it would be worth it. It would be worth it for peace of mind. It would be worth it for faith in Christ. It would be worth it to save the soul for eternity. Let the wicked, even those who are guilty of gross sins, let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man, his thoughts, jealous thoughts, envious thoughts, thoughts of hatred, thoughts of unreality. But let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. If he can't have a woman, he will lust after the woman. The thought will be there. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, and in every other sphere of unrighteousness. But not just forsake, let him return to the Lord. Let him return to the Lord. Return. It's what Luke 15 says. Return. You can't return where you've never been before. And as in Luke 15, so here, it's speaking about the election of God's people, that are being called out to be saved. They are elect. They are God's chosen. They don't know it. They're not at home. They've never been home that they can remember all these days past. But return to the Lord. It may be there are some those there who had been religious worshippers, who really genuinely have believed. Well, return if you've gone astray, no matter what it is. One of the glories of the prodigal son is that the Lord went to welcome. He wasn't full of upbraiding. He wasn't full of telling him off for listening and wasting the time, causing so much upset at home. None of these things were mentioned. The father was so pleased. That overwhelmed everything. The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy. You don't think he can have mercy? You think things that you've done can never be forgiven? Good thought. Do you think you're the only one who's ever done that? Good thought. Doesn't God know about all the sins that have ever been committed, and even the sins of the thought which have never been seen? But he will have mercy. He will draw you to himself. He will forgive you. He will love to have you. You will be healed of these things. He will abundantly pardon. Not just that it was a sort of near thing. He will abundantly pardon. Scripture uses the expression sometimes, a large place. And it means you haven't got to tiptoe through to avoid all the troubles. It means there's plenty of space where you're treading to be all right. Let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him. Let him return to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to know every single thought, every single action has been pardoned by God? And especially those of you who couldn't forgive yourselves for what you've done. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be pardoned for God? Well, if it's a burden to you that you don't think he will forgive you your sins or show mercy unto you, here's some reasoning to think about. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You may think that you do not deserve repentance. You're right. You may deserve mercy. You're right, you don't deserve it. But also, it will be given to those who turn to the Lord. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. He has ideas of mercy for you when you don't see how mercy can be delivered to you at all. Your ways and your thoughts are not my ways. My way of thinking is totally above yours. I take things into consideration that you would never know about or dream about. My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, like the heavens are higher than the earth. Think about that. If you don't think you could have mercy, if you don't think that there's any way you could be saved, think about it. Your thoughts are low thoughts. God's thoughts are high thoughts. Think about this. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. They're better. They're infinitely better. They're incalculably better. My ways are higher than your ways. You think you can't have mercy? You don't know a thing. There's mercy abundant, ready to rain on you through the mercy which is in Christ Jesus by the shedding of his blood on Calvary, bearing your punishment. Think of this. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven. All right, so you don't think you could have mercy. But this is coming from above. What's being suggested here is coming from above. As the rain cometh down, as the snow comes down from heaven, where does it go? This is a wonderful picture. Where does it go? What does it do? Well, it waters the earth. And God's ways are higher than your ways. And they feed you, they strengthen you, they take away the thirsty, they change you. As the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but it waters the earth first, and maketh it to bring forth and bud. And that does two things. Gives you seed for another year, and bread to eat. God sends from above things you wouldn't know about if you didn't live among them. And God sends the gospel that all those who believe will receive life and everlasting life, forgiveness of sins, pardon forevermore. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So here's the preacher standing before them. He's speaking on behalf of, as all heralds do, on behalf of the king. He's going to, the word that he says is the king's word. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Nothing can prevent it. Come to Christ. Believe in Christ. This word is true. This word is genuine. And it will come true for those whom the Lord has spoken to. It will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. This book brings prosperity. The Bible brings prosperity. The gospel message brings prosperity. Salvation is prosperity to the soul. You shall go out with joy. What will be the result for a believer? Those of you who are cast down and discouraged, you'll go out with joy. Now it is true that we have many difficulties. And if we're able to throw them on the Lord, we'll be aware of his sustaining power. But even if we find that difficult, if you know you're going to heaven, if you know you're safe, if you know your sins are forgiven, it does put another totally different perspective upon the things you're going through. And they can be described as joy. They're there. They're fundamental. They're underneath. You'll never sink below them. You shall go out with joy and be led out forth with peace. The hills shall break forth before you into singing. Well, they don't actually sing, unless you think of the birds on the hills singing. But it's just that everything around you seems to echo how you're feeling. Echo the knowledge that you belong to the Lord. Even the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Wonderful picture. They applaud God. They love what they see in you. They're like the angels that rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. When you go out, it's as if all the trees of the field clap their hands. They're delighted. They applaud. They love the work of God. They love to see what's done in you. And they themselves seem to re-echo to your heart God's own nature and God's own love. And where there was sin, instead of the thorn, shall come up the fir tree. Those of you who are listening to me, says the preacher, maybe you know you've got a prickly temper. Maybe you know you've committed all sorts of sin. But when they're repented of, there'll be a replacement for those thorns. There'll be the fir tree, evergreen. Always seeking to serve the Lord. Always blessing those with whom you meet. Instead of the briar. Briar's not one thorn, there's loads of thorns. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. That lovely, lovely tree with gum, resin, and that is so fruitful and so pleasant, so aromatic. And if all that happens, it shall be to the Lord for a name, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so is my mercy that you don't expect, higher than you'd ever dream. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that thou shalt be saved. It's an everlasting sign from the Lord. It shall never be cut off. The words of Jesus are eternal. The promises of the Lord cannot fail. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. This message overrides every message. Whatever you haven't got in the world, or however much you have got in the world, it's as nothing. It's waste. Unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, come to the waters. Come. If you have no money, come. Buy wine and milk, priceless, the food of the gospel. Amen.